Hello and welcome to an Inside College Hockey podcast recorded Tuesday, November 25th, 2008. Happy holidays and happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. My name is Joe Gladyszewski, Inside College Hockey editor, ECAC hockey writer, and podcast host. Pleased to welcome in longtime podcast contributors. We'll start with Jess Myers, senior writer covering the WCHA. Good evening, Jess.
If you're one of our friends listening in from Canada, we hope you had a happy Thanksgiving last month and that all of the leftover turkey is gone.
Yeah, get rid of that stuff. That's it's time. And we'll also welcome Inch editor and columnist Mike Eidelbus. Hello, Mike.
If the day after Christmas in Canada is called Boxing Day, does that make the day after Thanksgiving Mixed Martial Arts Day?
Wrestling could be.
Grappling Day.
Could be Jiu-Jitsu Day. Taekwondo Day.
Hi!
Well, let's get into it. We've got a great weekend on tap, something that we mentioned last night in the Thankful Napkin, certainly one of our favorites to write and to think about every year that we've done for all 7 years of Inside College Hockey's existence. And what we talked about being thankful for was savory non-conference games, the non-traditional matchups. Get to see some new teams, new faces, and some matchups that you don't get to see throughout the course of the season. And two big ones, well, kind of four big ones, actually. But we'll start with Air Force, Colorado College, and Denver. The three Colorado teams will tangle this weekend, starting with Air Force hosting Colorado College and then traveling to Magnus Arena at the University of Denver. Of course, Air Force is the only unbeaten, untied team in the country. They've just run over their competition in Atlantic Hockey. They are 12-0-0, 10-0-0 in the conference. But a lot of people will argue that these are the first real tests for the Falcons. Jess, what do you think of Air Force so far this year, and what do you look forward to about their matchups this weekend?
These are the games, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, these are the games you've had circled since probably November 1st, when Air Force started out, 4-0, 6-0, up to 8-0. Everybody said, this is when we'll find out if they're for real. I definitely think they are for real, but we'll see. And, hosting Colorado College on a Friday night, I wrote about this last week. That's a good thing because Colorado College, for some reason, has forgotten how to play hockey on Fridays. I talked to their coach. I talked to Andreas Vassopoulos, some players. They're bewildered. They cannot figure out what goes wrong on Fridays, but they can't score goals on Fridays, and they're trying all kinds of different stuff. And granted, it's not a long road trip, but you do have to go in somebody else's building, and this has got to be, and granted, I don't go back that far, but this has got to be one of the biggest games in the history of the Air Force program to kind of prove that you're for real.
I think I'd take that another step further and say it's probably the biggest weekend in the history of that program, outside of maybe an NCAA tournament appearance. But, from the standpoint of, I guess, legitimizing Air Force in other people's eyes, and I don't think I'm in the same boat as you, Jess. I think they're definitely for real. I mean, schedule notwithstanding, I mean, you don't hang those kind of offensive numbers on teams, and you just can't chalk that up to they're playing weak opponents. I mean, they're routing teams badly. Crushing them. In the last couple weeks, they've done it really without any contributions from Jacques Lamoureux. So, but getting back to the original point, I think this is probably the biggest weekend in the history of the program. They have a very good chance to take a big leap in the eyes of people nationally, and they take on a couple teams. You know, he talked about Colorado College's problems. Denver has, you know, looked like they maybe shake their slump a little bit against Minnesota at home on Saturday. But, you know, they've been battling some things over the last month or so, too. So, you know, there's a lot of stake, not just for Air Force, but, you know, also for Colorado College and Denver.
You know what? Here's an interesting point. Well, I'm going to make it. You can decide if it's interesting or not. Air Force could, through the virtue of this regular season run, that, you know, 12 down, about, what, 20 to go, they might be able to play themselves into a pairwise NCAA tournament spot, even if they don't win Atlantic Hockey. If they just keep racking up these wins, and their non-league games, just pulled up their schedule, obviously CC Denver this weekend. After Christmas, they're going to play at UConn and versus Merrimack or Quinnipiac at the UConn Classic. And then they've got a non-league game against Yale. And that's it. Everything else is in the league. So if in those non-league games, 2, 4, 5 of those, you're looking at, I don't know, say 2-2-1, and then you go 10-4. I mean, you're looking, you know, if you get to 22-6, even if something goes wrong in the Atlantic Hockey playoffs, you might have done enough to get into the big tournament.
That's a valid obviously point, and you look at those teams, and you know, obviously playing a Merrimack is going to help them because, you know, I think again, and it's something that we've mentioned in the past that, you know, at least right now, Hockey East to me looks like the toughest conference top to bottom. So that'll definitely help their strength of schedule. You know, Yale is off to a pretty decent start.
Another good team.
Not a bad team at all. There was another one in there that I missed. Well, obviously, you know, CC and Denver.
Quinnipiac.
The
other option.
Yeah, not a...
That'd be the other option.
Yeah, which isn't a, you know... Isn't a terrible non-conference game, and it wouldn't be a computer rankings killer. You know, the other thing that...
Yeah, it's better than the two against Bentley that they've got to play in league, but...
Right.
I don't know. That to me is a story that we should watch for the rest of the season, I think. If they just keep rolling, it gives them that second chance, you know, that opportunity to... you know, if they were to stumble or, you know, playoff games are certainly one of a kind and a lot of things can happen in those games. But you've got it. Go ahead.
When I look at Colorado College playing Denver, or excuse me, when I look at Colorado College playing Air Force this weekend as well, I'm amazed by the historical perspective. I mean, you don't have to go back that far, but how this has changed. I mean, this used to be kind of an obligation game for Colorado College. For what, about 5 years there in the 90s, Colorado College didn't have a rink and they played all their home games at Air Force. And as kind of a thank you to Air Force, they would give them a game. There were some people in 1994 when Colorado College won the WCHA but didn't get into the NCAA tournament, where they kind of blamed that Air Force game that they had to play as maybe, you know, through the convoluted computer rankings, maybe that weak spot on their schedule costing them an invite to the NCAAs. So I guess it's just kind of neat to see that, you know, what was this obligation or this neighborhood rivalry that the CC felt for years it had to play, or, you know, or at least that was the opinion of some. And now it's, you know, probably the most interesting game in college hockey this weekend for a lot of reasons.
Yeah. But you know what? It's funny, and that kind of segues a little bit into another point, another big game, and so we'll do that. Northeastern and Princeton are playing in the first round of the RPI Holiday Tournament on Friday afternoon in Troy. And how many years ago, not too long ago, this game would have been a punchline? I mean...
2 years ago?
03, 04... You know, Princeton had 5 wins. Northeastern was last in Hockey East. Didn't make the playoffs. You know, and I haven't looked at all the years, but it was that way for a lot of the time. And now we've got them both in the top five of our power rankings. You know, even 2003, Princeton won 3 games. Northeastern won 10. Again, last place in Hockey East. So you can get things turned around in a short amount of time. And I think both of these programs really, really deserve some appreciation and some congratulations for doing that. Certainly both have put in new coaching staffs, and you never like to see, you know, changes made in programs because of the relationships that you develop as fans, as media, you know, and the student athletes, you know, develop relationships with coaching staffs. But there's two cases where the change was probably a good one, and they got things going at their respective programs. And it should be a great, great game. I'm looking forward to it certainly very much on Friday.
I agree. There's going to be a lot of talent on that ice too. There are two teams that I think that most people, and I'll even throw myself in there, I think most people don't have a handle kind of on the kind of players that these two programs have. But there's some very good players on this team, and you know, I think last year kind of Princeton wise. And Gladdy, you can speak to this more. You know, we kind of got caught up in Jubinville, and the goalie Kalemba is kind of the two guys that were really the kind of the names out there. But they're starting, following at least their box scores and then the game on TV that they played earlier this month, against Cornell. I mean, there's some definite depth to that team. There's some. It's just not a one-player team or a one-line team. I mean, they've got some quality guys that they roll through there.
I think what Princeton's greatest asset is, you know, and you mentioned that a lot of people would answer this question with Jubinville and Kalemba. I think the greatest asset is consistency. They're on you for 60 minutes. You know you're in a game. You've got to compete. You've got to battle. And there won't be any time off. And that style and that approach is what's made Princeton successful in my book. I mean, they outshot Clarkson like 40-18 or something up at Chiel last weekend. And Clarkson certainly has some injury issues that they're dealing with and other things going on. But that still is a pretty good hockey team, a proud hockey team that is not playing well. And for Princeton to go up and just take them out is a pretty big statement to me, at least. And I think Northeastern does the same thing. You know, they're going to battle you. They're going to outwork you. They're going to get great goaltending from Brad Thiessen, and it'll be an interesting matchup, certainly in that early game Friday. But one thing we've seen in this tournament is that sometimes the clear favorite, especially in this RPI Thanksgiving tournament, ends up not advancing out of that first day. It's been the case a couple of times, or they're in a better game. So. The other teams are certainly the host Rensselaer Engineers and Mercyhurst out of Atlantic Hockey. That'll be the second semifinal. So we'll see what we get out of those teams and certainly what happens on Saturday. Should be interesting.
Yeah, that should be an interesting game because Rensselaer can't score and Mercyhurst can't keep anybody from scoring. So
that's a good point.
Something's
yeah.
I don't know what Mercyhurst is ranked in scoring defense nationally. It's got to be pretty close to the bottom. I know Rensselaer is 58th in the nation in scoring offense.
That's not good.
No, that isn't good. But
Michigan State's 57th.
That's correct. Speaking of teams that can't score and non-league games, but that could be an odd game with Rensselaer and Mercyhurst because they were
Mercyhurst is tied 56th, 4.25 goals against per game. Rensselaer 58th in scoring, 1.36 goals per.
Something's got to give.
That's 15 goals in 11 games. Yikes.
Wow.
Yikes.
Good seats still available, right?
Plenty of good seats at the Fieldhouse. Yeah. It's a nice little event. I went 2 years ago. Not a lot of student presence, obviously, because of the break, but good games, good things. I saw Ohio State, Colgate, and I do not recall the other team. Niagara.
There you go.
Niagara. The Perps. There you go.
Speaking of Colgate, I feel kind of bad for them. They kind of get forgotten in the whole weekend in the Rockies. They're out there, you know, with Air Force and CC and Denver. They're the fourth team nobody talks about. So
Go
Raiders. Show us what you got.
Not a bad team either.
They're good enough to make some make something happen out there, especially if the other teams get a little wound up with CC, Denver, Air Force, those kinds of things. You know, they tied Harvard 2-2. They beat Lowell, who's a team in the Inch Power rankings. They had a 1-0 loss against Dartmouth. They tied Cornell at Lina. Overtime loss against Princeton. The score won't be very high in those games, I can tell you that much. It'll be 3-2 or 2-1 or 1-0. Somewhere in that range. But
so if CC gets beat by Air Force on Friday night, will Scott Owens say, clearly our team is looking ahead to Cornell?
Colgate.
Or excuse me, Colgate.
He may.
Although if he said we were looking ahead to Cornell, that would be an even deeper insult.
Yeah, that was a...
Or whoever we're playing tomorrow.
That team's really in trouble if they're looking ahead to somebody that's not even on their schedule.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Cornell. Another interesting conference matchup as Cornell travels to the fabulous, luxurious accommodations of the Ralph Engelstad Arena for two games against the North Dakota Fighting Sioux. Be interesting to see how Cornell reacts to a bigger ice sheet, I think. Line is kind of small. They're a big team. Very good defensively.
The Ralph is an NHL sheet, though. It's not a...
I thought it was a tweener, like a 90 or 92.
I don't think so. I thought they were pretty big sticklers about making it NHL size, but...
Well, good. Proud of them. Better than all that other...
That's what it should be.
...that goes on out west.
Just saying.
That's what it should be?
Well, yeah.
You don't like the ocean that is Mariucci Arena?
That thing's a mess. They shouldn't... I love Minnesota.
You know, sometimes I'm watching a Minnesota game and I half expect, you know, I half expect them to have the Nets turn sideways. There's so much room in... just to confirm, Ralph Engelstad is 200 by 85.
Oh, good. Well, then, good. No, Cornell's a good team. They're going to go up there and expect to win twice, that's for sure. Whether that happens or not, we'll see. But
again, type up your nasty emails in advance, but North Dakota is not a good team. They're an okay team. I've been saying this all year. They're an okay team, but they're just an okay team.
Yeah, they're an okay team.
And they're ice cold right now. I mean,
yeah.
I think they've won one of their last five. So if there's ever a time where an ECAC team is going to go into North Dakota and win twice, mark your calendar for this weekend, because I'm not saying it will happen, but this would be the weekend that it would happen.
Yeah.
Well, and
you know what's fun, too, is that North Dakota follows that with a trip to Harvard for two.
Yeah.
On December 5th and 6th, they got their return trip. Harvard was out there at Christmas time last year. So,
North Dakota's got a travel-heavy schedule this year. They go to Boston twice. They go to Detroit for the GLI. They go, you know, their regular conference schedule has them going to Anchorage and has them going to Colorado College, and they're spending a lot of time on the road.
Ryan Duncan is still their leading scorer, but he's got 10 points through 12 games.
Wow!
And they've got 28 goals through 12 games. So.
That used to be a weekend for North Dakota.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
just a tick over two goals per.
I've received a couple emails from some North Dakota people. You know, not ridiculing us or, you know, throwing us under the bus or anything, but just kind of, you know, what do you see about them, and you know, how, what do you think about this team, and. You know, obviously they haven't been ranked in our top 20 for quite a while. And I think that, you know, they were ranked, I think, in a couple of other polls there for, you know, two, you know, maybe,
longer than we have. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe a couple weeks ago. I think part of that is people just kind of voting for the jersey, to be honest with you.
There have been some very curious things in some of those national polls.
Yeah, we could do a whole podcast about that. But, you know, the point I made to the at least one guy who emailed, you know, you look at these guys, at the stats, and, you know, at least from the national standpoint, you know, in any of those major categories, with, you know, goals for, goals against, or scoring offense, scoring defense, power play, penalty kill, North Dakota was, you know, the last time I looked, which I think was before last weekend's game, wasn't any higher than 33rd in any of those categories. You know, so that's, you know, more or less the lower, you know, at least the lower half, almost the lower third in the nation in all those categories. And I think the other disconnect, too, you know, maybe with people wondering about, you know, about North Dakota is, you know, there's a difference between having talent and putting that talent to use. You know, I don't think anybody would deny that North Dakota has a lot of talent on its roster, but there's a lot of young talent, and it's taken these guys a while to, or it's going to take them a while, or it's still taking, you know, they're still getting used to each other. They're still, you know, trying to find what combinations work. They've had a couple injuries on defense, which you know, hasn't helped. They're young in goal, which obviously, I should say inexperienced in goal, which doesn't help. You know, so there's a lot of things at play in there. But people see North Dakota and kind of expect, well, you know, they should be, you know, among the top 10, 15 teams in the country. You know, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things at play with that team right now, and I don't know I don't know how soon it's going to be until they get those things sorted out.
There, you're right, Buzz. There is a lot of talent. I was saying to somebody in the preseason, and I'm not a savant or anything, but sometimes with North Dakota, yeah. Come on, argue. Come on, please, argue.
That's the smartest thing you've ever said.
You know why I pulled you over? But, no, you just kind of get a vibe, and I kind of got this vibe with this team. And in 2001, 2002, they had or maybe it was 2003, they had a similar team that had Brandon Bochensky, and it had a ton of talent and just couldn't put anything together. And you can't really explain why they struggle with the talent they have, but sometimes you just do. I mean, I would put Minnesota in that category last year that, you know, with the addition of Jordan Schrader, didn't make them that much better this year. It was just things didn't happen the way they feel like they should happen.
So now much mystery and leadership, you're right. You're right.
Yeah. And now, the one thing that you can maybe look forward to if you're a North Dakota fan is January 1st is rapidly approaching. And we have seen North Dakota teams the last couple of years look average to bad in the first half of the season and then somehow flip a switch on January 1st and turn it on and make a run and get to the Frozen Four. I frankly don't see that happening this year, but it's happened in the past.
Right. Yeah. You can't write them off. There's no question about that. You can't write them off, but they've got their work cut out for them. Let's put it that way.
It's got to start with goals against, I think. You know, they've allowed 40 goals against in 12 games, and that's too many. The only team in the WCHA that's allowed more than 40 is Wisconsin at 47. That's at 14 games, two more games. But, you know, you got to be a little bit – if things aren't going your way offensively, and if your leading point scorer has 10 points, they're probably not. You know, maybe you've got to make a more conscious effort to buckle down. They're not going to run into an offensive buzzsaw – certainly this weekend in Cornell, but it's a team that can pop them when you give them an opportunity. So if they're not committed and they're not disciplined, Cornell can make you pay a little bit. So we'll see what happens there. That'll be a good one.
It'll be a good one for both teams.
Yeah, you're right. It's good for both teams, a chance. And actually, it's a good 2 weeks for North Dakota.
Yeah.
That trip to Harvard will be good for them, too. sometimes getting on the road, getting away, playing, you know, playing some teams you're less familiar with. I think sometimes that's a good time to worry about yourself rather than, oh, we know what Colorado College has done on every single power play for the last 10 years because mm-hmm. we've got them on tape. You know, just worry about what you're doing. And that might be the key to get North Dakota going a little bit.
Speaking, if I can segue for just a second, Gladdy, speaking of knowing what teams do on the power play, in the case of your Huskies, here's what they do on the power play lately. Nothing.
Oh, boy.
0-13 last weekend in a split with Wisconsin. Man, remember how much we talked about that Husky power play? It is just not happening.
That's the kind of thing that comes and goes, Jess. Every coach in America said.
And it's...
We're moving the puck well. We're getting good looks. It's just not going in for us.
No, it's not. To Bob Motzko's credit, the Huskies are 5-1 in their last six. So they're finding ways to win hockey games without the power play.
There you go.
And that's a good thing. They lost a 1-0 game last Saturday.
They're under 500 in the league. That's
true. And four league losses already before December 1st is a tough hole to climb out of if you have designs on winning this league.
They've got tons of games in hand, though. They played seven conference games. Minnesota Duluth played 9. Everyone else played 10 or more.
Wisconsin's played 10, yep.
Wisconsin's played 12.
I thought Wisconsin played 10 in the conference, and I've lost 5 of them, but whatever.
5-5-2, as I stare at the current WCHA standings.
That can't be right.
Oh, it is.
Wisconsin?
Tim Danahy says it. It must be true.
Look at that. That's right.
Well, they play a 28-game conference schedule there, Jess?
28 games.
They're almost halfway home.
It's amazing. I saw Wisconsin St. Cloud twice last weekend. I got to credit the Badgers a little bit. They looked awful Friday night and then came back and won a 1-0 game on Saturday. They have survived the stretch now. They're 2 games under 500 overall. They've survived the stretch of playing 10 of their first 14 games on the road. Now they come home for 8 in a row and don't have another road game until January 9th. So, you know, they haven't thrived, but they have survived. And now if you start winning some home games, they're actually not in as bad a position as you might think, having started 0-6-1.
Good point.
I'm not convinced they're a great team or even a good team.
I'm looking at their schedule right now, and they've got 6 road games left the rest of the year.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
So... And again, you know, this is another one of those teams, kind of like North Dakota. You think they should be a lot better than their record indicates. At least I think they should be. You know, I question their goaltending a little bit. I'm not sure. Let me put it this way. I'm not a big fan of Connolly. I don't think he's very inconsistent. Put it that way.
Absolutely. He's consistently inconsistent because
yes,
he's a senior and he's always been inconsistent.
So, but just, you know, there's too much talent on that team for them to have the record they do. You know, I'm willing to give North Dakota a little bit of benefit of doubt because a lot of those guys are younger. You know, they're breaking in a lot of new guys on that roster and they've had a little bit dinged up on the blue line, but Wisconsin, to me, it has been a disappointment thus far, even though they've been playing better as of late.
I gotta credit Connolly, though. I mean, this kid has had just an awful time playing in St. Cloud. The fans get on him, and he just hasn't been very good there. And Friday night was no exception. You know, they got beat, I think it was 6-2 or 5-2. I thought there was no way we were going to see him again Saturday night. I thought you should put in Scott Goodmanson, his, I think, sophomore, that's their backup. And he had the confidence to bring Connolly back and put him in there for another night. Connolly's hopefully, in his words, hopefully my last game in this building. He said he never wants to come back. But not only does he get a shutout, he stood on his head in the last 2 minutes of the game. St. Cloud had a power play. And, you know, the students are right next to the Poison goalie, and they're riding in the whole game. There's some promotion in St. Cloud where if the Huskies score six or more goals, the fans get a coupon for, like, free chicken wings. Well, before the game on the big screen, they saw a fan that has a sign that says, "Hey, Connolly, thanks for the wings." And after the game's over, you know, he celebrates. He goes over to the fans. He's waving, you know. It's like this love-hate relationship. Nice. So it was a fun time.
Nice.
He said he actually wanted to get a couple of the signs to take home with him, but they were gone.
Thanks
good
for the
him.
Wings. I gotta like yeah. that. I guess that kind of, well, I'm not
well,
allowed to segue.
Well, no, let's get into this, Bus.
I was going to get into the College Hockey Showcase.
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead. Talk about teams that aren't playing well.
Here comes Michigan State and Michigan.
Yeah. Again, I think...
You know, Michigan, like you again, said, I'll give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. Because they've had some tough injuries.
Yeah, and they you know, they lost two to Miami. That's...
At Miami.
No shame in that.
And once again, Michigan proves it can't beat a MAC school. So...
Hello.
Just saying. But you know, Michigan State. This team has gone. I don't know how many games. I want to say it's been at least six that they failed to put up a crooked number. And that's not good. And you know, as good as Jeff Lurg is, and he's a pretty good goalie. I mean. If you don't score, if you're consistently scoring zero or one, you're not going to win.
Here's a stat for you. When Michigan State scores two goals or more, they are 1, 2, 3, 4, 0, and 2.
Yeah, think about how ridiculous that is.
And their overall record is 4-8-2. So that means eight times they had zero or one, including seven straight games.
Isn't Cornell 4-0-2 right now with similar
yeah.
offensive numbers? So
yeah, they are.
Michigan State would win the ECAC this year.
No, they wouldn't.
Okay.
No, they wouldn't. I mean, they literally can't score. Obviously.
Have you been to Munn, Bus?
I have not. I have not been to Munn. And obviously they're gone this weekend.
Right.
And I expect, you know, how you look at how are they going to beat Minnesota? There's no way Michigan State beats Minnesota. I mean, when you're trying to get...
Air Force
to,
said. Holy Cross said.
Well... Air Force and Holy Cross could put up more than one goal a game.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, when you're hoping to get to two, do you think Michigan State can hold Minnesota to one goal?
I think Jeff Lurg could. If he has a Terreri-esque performance.
If there were three of him.
Here's the thing, Bus. You don't know. I mean.
No, you don't know, but.
But I understand that they are huge, huge underdogs.
But I think the proof is in the pudding. I think that, you know, I mean, this isn't just a little goal-scoring slump for Michigan State.
Yeah,
the team
you're
just
right.
can't score goals, and that's the way it's going to be.
The most they've had in a game is three.
Yeah.
On two occasions. Home against Western and against UMass at BC. That was first game of the year. Yeah, it's troublesome, for sure.
So you force the Gophers to score three to beat you? Wow, they could do that. They'll do that in two shifts.
Yeah.
No, I just you know what a rah-rah Gopher guy I am, but you know I've seen this happen too many times in Mariucci where they start moving the puck laterally and get Jeff Lurg having to move side to side across that huge blue line to cover both points. And pop one in, and then the band starts going, and then the crowd starts going, and yeah.
The spelling drives you nuts.
Oh, it's spelling. It's all about spelling.
Well, here's the other thing. After Michigan State and Michigan play at the showcase, they've got a home and home
Yeah.
And that's a pretty critical home-and-home, December 5th and 6th. So I think what both of those teams are trying to achieve up there is, again, getting themselves going. Got to worry about what you can do. And get it fixed or at least better in time for those that series, and then you get into the December break. So.
And then Michigan State comes back after that break with North Dakota at the GLI, by the way.
Yep.
Are they still playing any of their regular season games at the Joe Bus?
Yes. One of the four each season is played at Joe Louis Arena.
Okay.
And it's typically in the month of February.
It's earlier this year. Typically it is, but it's earlier this year.
Yeah, it is earlier.
And it's a Friday this year, which is strange.
Yeah, usually it's a Saturday.
Yeah, they got a Friday at the Joe and then Saturday at Yost on the 23rd and 24th of January.
Good stuff.
That's odd.
Those teams generally don't like each other.
That's the hunch.
Okay, enough of the small non-conference series. Are we going to get to the big series now? Minnesota State at Bowling Green?
Let's talk about the Falcons and the Mavericks.
Well,
Mavs are good, man, aren't they?
Mavs are a good team.
Let's talk about the Mavericks.
Mavs are a good team, and they're playing very well right now. 4-1-1 in their last little run here. I'm a believer in the purple and gold. I just hope there's a smoking section near the where the coach's entrance is. But
oh yeah,
that's neither here nor there.
That's another topic.
Yeah.
Yeah. This Minnesota State team is pretty good. I mean, obviously Zacharias is a good goalie.
Yeah.
And we kind of. That was kind of...
And he gets hit in the head, which was awesome.
Yeah. So he gets smoked in the dome, or his helmet falls off, or whatever.
And he gets Ramboed up by the training staff. still one of the better quotes this season.
I expected to see him and two other guys marching with a fife and a drum. Anyways, the other thing I was going to say is about Minnesota State and Jess. You've seen them at least a couple times, have you not?
Yeah, 3-4 times I think.
Already? Wow.
Already? Oh yeah, I get out there.
Yeah, you're
there. Since you guys started paying mileage, man, I'm everywhere.
Oh yeah, since mileage went up to 58.5 cents a mile. Well, there you go.
That's right. Hey, gas is cheap. Hit the wide open road.
Yeah,
it's cheaper.
Cheaper is right. They're very. I don't think we give enough credit to the talent that they have. Very, very deep team that Mankato has, and it's different guys each week, each game, coming up and being scoring the big goal or having a big night offensively.
Yep.
I think they're very underrated in that regard, is that there's a lot of talent spread over the those 3-4 lines that they've got.
You know, they're kind of the photo negative of Minnesota in certain ways, in that Minnesota, everybody in the preseason want to talk, oh, they've got all this young talent in Aaron Ness and Jordan Schrader, and that's true. Those guys are great players, but the coach kept saying, yeah, but the key is our upperclassmen. You got to focus on our upperclassmen. Now, Minnesota State, I say, is the opposite, just because in the preseason everybody was saying, oh, they've got all these seniors and juniors, they're so experienced, that's going to make the difference. And those guys have been very good. I mean, Mick Berge is clearly the offensive key to that team. But you look at, like, Kurt Davis, who's a sophomore defenseman who has 14 assists already,
mm-hmm.
or this Michael Wurst, who I don't think was on anybody's projection as being an impact rookie and has been just a great player.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the fun ones. I mean, switching gears, you look at Denver with Luke Salazar. Who'd heard of him before? And, he pops up and it shows that his opening isn't a fluke. And so that's what's kind of fun about this Mavs team, too, is it's unexpected not that they're good, but unexpected why they're good.
Yeah, good point.
I'm looking at good their point. Roster right now, and they have three players who are under 20 years old. Three guys on the roster. And they're all, obviously, they're all freshmen. Three freshman forwards. Two are 19 and one is 18. So, you know, it may be a young team in terms of, having some
college
younger guys, but they're very experienced. There's no question about it. And you mentioned Berge, who's obviously a good player. But, you know, Brewis is a good player. I know Gagliardi had... Ryland Gagliardi had a four-point weekend last week, and they had another guy with a four-point weekend last weekend. I can't remember who it was, but it's a good team. Hopefully.
By the way, Zach Harrison from Mavs just turned 21, so we want to wish him a happy birthday.
Oh, you'll get it.
Go.
Happy birthday, Zach. I'm sure you're celebrating your 21st birthday by listening to the Inch Podcast.
Well, heck, you oughta.
He's from Flint, Michigan, by the way, so I don't know how he's healed.
Hall of Famer Zach Harrison, by the way, with the
short-handed
natural hat trick earlier this season.
That's right.
He's got a twig in Toronto.
He's a Flintstone.
Plus, how can we have Notre Dame ranked ahead of Miami when Miami swept them 2 months ago? And Notre Dame 7-0-1 since then.
Well,
oh, okay. Never mind. Just answered my own question.
There you go.
Are you reading an email from?
Yeah, exactly. We got an
Mishawaka,
email.
Indiana, or something.
A little bit. We've heard. I don't know.
We get the same questions year in and year out, just in different.
And yeah, and here's the other thing. To answer those just generally, well, then we'd have to rank Miami behind Vermont, Ferris State, and Alaska. So.
Right.
There's just not enough room for everybody, okay?
It's
win first, be consistent, beat good teams.
Yeah, exactly. Notre Dame's...
There's your criteria for the Inch Power Rankings, for anybody who wanted to know. Win, be consistent, beat good teams.
And we might have Miami a little low. We might. But I think you made the point. Split with Ferris at home, they split with Alaska at home. I mean, those are two decent teams. But
no, they got 1 point against.
That's
Ferris.
Right. That's right. That's right.
At home.
You know, sandwich those between, sweeps at Notre Dame and sweeping Michigan. Well, those are impressive, but.
Yeah, beating Michigan State isn't what it used to be.
No, not at all.
Nebraska, Omaha said.
you mentioned Alaska. I know we've talked way too much WCHA, but I got to give a quick shout out to Alaska Anchorage. This team is much. This team is much better than I predicted it would be, and they deserve some credit for the way they played.
You're here.
We've made this point that, call me after January 1st, because that's when things traditionally start to go bad. But, hey, for now, you're above 500, and you're beating good teams at home and on the road. And, hey, keep it up. Good work.
Good work.
I wonder about their goaltending a little bit also.
Yep.
Like we said about Mankato, we're end up going through all the WCHA rosters more or less tonight for some reason. There's some pretty talented offensive players on that team. When you look at Paul Crowder and Grant,
Josh London.
Yeah. You know the Grant kid. I can't think of his first name.
Paul, is it?
That's Paul Crowder.
Tommy Grant.
There you go.
Sophomore, 10 goals already. Good for him.
I mean, there's some guys on there that can play. Paul Crowder is a pretty darn good player.
Yeah.
Pretty darn good player, and he's got a good size too. I remember, I think I wrote something about him a couple years ago, maybe for an A to Z. He's a big kid.
All right, what you guys need to do now
is
turn 180 degrees from where you're looking toward Alaska, and we're going to look toward Boston.
We're going to look toward Russia.
We're going to look toward the EU.
The Caribbean?
And we talked about just a minute ago.
Morocco?
Win, be consistent, and BU has won two out of their last five, including tonight's win over Holy Cross. So they were 1-3 in their last four entering tonight's game, including a couple losses on home ice last weekend against Vermont. Vermont's kind of getting that power rankings thing going, you know, beat good teams, be consistent, and keep winning. So just like BU's team, maybe November has been a little bit of a, oh, I don't know, topsy-turvy. Maybe a team that experienced too much too soon. Things were rolling so well that could have possibly taken it easy. Vermont, you know, of course, gets another win tonight in overtime. They beat UMass 3-2 in OT, so they're a good little team, and they're on a nice little roll. Peter Lennis gets the OT winner.
Yeah, he's having a nice season.
He is. Far. Nice player. Nice player.
Yes. And they're kind of the opposite of what they were last year. You know, last year they were playing a lot of tight games, tight, low-scoring games.
They still are.
And they still are playing tight games, but they've definitely got more scoring punch than they did last year. I mean, last year they were a lot of 2-1s and, you know, basically the first team to two in their games won, you know, whether it was UVM or the other team. You know, if you got to two, you were going to win. You know, they have a little bit more offense this year.
They got a nice little game against Maine this weekend. That'll be nice at the Gut.
Yeah, that'll be a good test
for
Maine.
Good test, but they really have taken advantage of kind of a light schedule. So it'll be a good test. Maine's next two games are against Vermont and Northeastern, so that'll be good. Good for the Black Bears to figure it out. BC plays against Harvard this weekend, and against Dartmouth. So, chance maybe to get a little bit better after that Notre Dame and Maine weekend. That out of the league, BC could use a little boost, I think.
They split last weekend.
St. Lawrence is at UMass and BU. A lot of ECAC hockey and Hockey East crossover this weekend. So, be good. You good?
What's going on with Dartmouth?
Dartmouth, good little team. Doing enough. They're still young. They're so young. They've got 18 freshmen and sophomores on the team.
Wow.
9 sophomores are probably their best players. I mean, as a class, points wise and contributions wise, and the kinds of roles they play with Esther Clay and Stace Skull and Evan Stevens, and they're pretty good. Pretty good. Done enough so far. That's another team that has traditionally been streaky. You know, they'll get hot and then they'll just not play well for a couple weeks. And I think that's the biggest challenge on a young team also, is consistency. So we'll see what we get from them. But, I mean, you look at their losses, and you can't really, in the first game of the year at Harvard, no shame in that. An OT loss against Vermont, no shame in that. And then they lose at Cornell, obviously an undefeated ranked team. So Dartmouth's a pretty good team. They've got they got Providence, the last place team in Hockey East, this weekend, and then they host BC on Sunday afternoon. So we'll see what we get from Dartmouth. They've got a freshman goalie named Jody O'Neill, who's won the job. You know, they had Mike Devine for such a long time. And O'Neill's been good. We spoke with a couple of their defensemen last week, those sophomores that I mentioned, Joel Staskel and Evan Stevens. And one thing they commented on was that O'Neill just has a poise, a confidence about him that's not a chirpy confidence or a exuberance. It's just the poise and the sure-handedness, I guess is what you would call it, to know he's going to make the saves, know he's going to be there. And that just helps defensemen play so much more relaxed, you know, especially young defensemen. And that's a huge thing for them. So I like them. I think they'll make a run at the top six of the league standings. top four is probably a little ambitious, but certainly could go their way.
I know it's early in ECAC. We kind of blooped over the Hockey East talk, by the way, but they've been getting enough attention from us recently.
Yeah, just read the Inch Power Rankings. There's 10 teams in there.
That's right.
which is a credit, absolute credit to a lot of the teams are playing out there. So
Rook's not here, and of course the rest of the country is just screaming to hear more about Boston sports. So
yeah,
exactly.
I'd actually like to shift this into deterioration now.
No, I was going to actually ask you a question about ECAC after, you know, you kind of look at it.
Okay.
It's very early, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued by this league, though, because I think the race, the conference race is going to be very, I think we're going to see a lot of teams scrambling for playoff position because, you know, outside of Princeton and I think, you know, Cornell are pretty much established that they're the two best.
Those are the two top dogs.
But after that, you know, you can make a case for about, what, eight other teams to finish in those other two spots?
I'd say five. I think Harvard's in the mix. I think Dartmouth's in the mix. I think Yale's in that mix. St. Lawrence, Colgate.
Can Quinnipiac be in that mix?
They could. You know, then you're looking at Quinnipiac and Union and Clarkson if they get super hot. But Watertown Daily Times, Cap Carey made a pretty good point last week in his weekly notebook where, Clarkson would have to go, like, undefeated to match their point total from last season and the rest of their league games. So, because there's only 22 conference games, if you start to spend some points, you know, in October and November, it doesn't help you down the road. Union was able to dig out of a hole last year and get to that fourth spot, which was a fantastic job by them. But it's certainly not the easiest road to the top four. And you're in a battle every night. You know, you got to get her going, and you're not gonna get an easy game. Cornell, another thing I read recently, Cornell got its first home sweep. I mean, this is venerable Liner Rink, the hardest place to play if you listen to them and all this stuff. It was their first home sweep in 2 years.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that is pretty amazing, actually.
So there,
but the one thing
you're in a tough little run there.
Well, and I think the other thing that we mentioned, and I don't even know if we talked about it on the podcast, was that every night's a battle, and this is going to be there's no 5-1, 6-1 games in this league.
Never.
I mean, they're all 2-1, 3-2,
4-2, 5-3.
Yep.
4-3.
It really is more than any league, maybe a league.
3-0. 3-0, yeah. Well, many of the coaches have taken to adopting a defense-first style. And,
right.
You know, this might sound like an excuse. It shouldn't be. It's meant as a compliment. Blue chip, high draft pick, first-round college hockey players, many times either are not interested or are not able to play at ECAC hockey institutions because of academics.
Agree.
So you've got to attract a different player. And if you can find, you know, a superstar goalie and build around a Steve Silverthorne or Mark Dekanich at Colgate, which they've run for the last 8 years and been really 6 years, I guess, and been very strong, or a Zane Kalemba or a Kyle Richter or a, you know, Dave McKee from Texas, you know, you can do some things in a real hurry in that league. And I think maybe that's a little bit of what people have found to be successful. So that's why you get in those kinds of games. So there you go.
It's certainly a league that bears watching, no question.
Yeah, and you know what? Clarkson last year proved that the best of the ECAC hockey is, you know, at least on par or comparable with the best of what's going on across the country. Mm-hmm. You know, they beat St. Cloud. They had Michigan in a great game in the regional final. And Billy Sauer actually won a game for the Michigan team. And he was outstanding. That came out wrong. I mean, it's like it was a case where he was absolutely the number one reason why they won that game.
For a team that was in the Frozen Four and was ranked number one for much of last season, that shouldn't sound like that much of a surprise.
No, it shouldn't.
It should.
Wow.
You know, and Princeton played North Dakota real tough last year. Cornell is a very good team this year. Princeton is a very good team. Those two should both make the national tournament and could and should. I mean, I don't know if you should, but when you get to that stage, everybody's good. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if each of those teams won a game. Two games, probably not. That's a tough thing to do.
Yeah, it is.
That's the hardest weekend of the year.
But don't you think playing a team like Cornell with just how, you know, that defensive philosophy and just how rugged they are and, you know, obviously the good goaltending, it's almost like it's the college football or it's the college hockey equivalent of playing like the triple option team. Just no way you can really prepare for it. You just got to go and fight through it and, you know.
Yeah, you just got to bring your lunchbox. And Cornell's defensively excellent as they were the earlier part of the decade, but it's a little bit different. You know, because they've had to be different because of the rules adjustments and how they're calling things these days. They used to be able to get away with a lot of tackle hockey, as we like to call it. But now, you know, they've got guys who move their feet. There's quickness. They're aggressive to loose pucks, but they're also making great reads. It's a smart defense. It's not a sit back and wait on my own defensive blue line and throw five guys across there and then tackle the first guy over the line, you know, while goalie chips it up the half goal. It's a little bit different and they're dangerous too. They've got about five or six guys in that team, I guess maybe three lines, who can really, you know, turn over when you turn the puck over. They're going to attack on you, and they've got enough talent to pot a couple. When you look at Greening and two Kennedys, and Riley Nash got his first two goals of the weekend against Harvard, or first two goals of the season last weekend against Harvard. So you get those things going, and that's a smart Cornell team. And you watch that Princeton-Cornell game. It was the first game for those teams. It was a ESPNU happy hour game. You know, it was a 1-0 game, but there was a lot of chances in that game. And you know, you could just the high level of competition is what impressed me most about that. There, every inch of the ice was battled for. That was good hockey.
All right, I sidetracked your deterioration with.
No, we're going to give a last call. Anything else, hockey-wise?
Actual content.
Yeah, I wanted to just add one thing. We had talked a little bit about the expansion ideas in the past. The WCHA now is going to formally put it to a vote, Bemidji State, whether they will be the next, the 11th member, I guess, of the WCHA. That vote is coming in January sometime. They need 8 of the 10 schools' representatives to vote in favor of them.
Wait a minute. Are they voting for Bemidji State? Or are they voting to lift the expansion moratorium?
Boy, now you stumped me.
Well, there's a difference.
They've agreed to put expansion on the table. Discussion of expansion on the table.
Okay. So they're opening the application process.
Right.
I'm totally applying.
You're in?
I'm applying to join the WCHA.
Gladdy State?
No, just Gladdy. I'm going to be like
you. Just Gladdy?
Just Gladdy.
Alaska, Gladdy. One
Alaska
name.
Alaska Regular, Alaska Anchorage, Alaska Gladdy.
Anyway, I've heard they need 8 votes, and so far they've got 5. So that was in a straw poll that was done recently. And
that's what all the political pollsters are up to now. Huh?
Yeah, no kidding.
That's right. That's right.
Good.
So if they get in, would that make Minnesota a green state? And do they have such a thing?
No, is it a green school maroon. And a white school?
Purple.
It is a green school. I'm just disappointed if they come to this league that they wouldn't bring more to the table color-wise, because we've just got too many green schools already.
Okay.
3-0.
North Dakota, Alaska Anchorage. This would be the third one.
Oh, but everyone else is the shades of red that was discussed.
Yeah, never mind.
Sunday.
I may have mentioned this, but how do you get 10 teams together in America and none of them wears blue? That just blows me away.
I don't know.
Well, coloring is for a different podcast. I
yeah,
suppose.
Exactly.
Yeah. We've had way too much sleep to talk about colors that much.
It's a segue to deterioration. Well, Thursday is a big day of, gouging, shoving delicious delectables through your face, and celebrating with loved ones, but mostly the eating.
Yeah.
What is your number one A-plus item that you look most forward to on your Thanksgiving table?
I'm going to defer to Jess.
All right.
Well, I can tell you what I'm cooking this year, which is the cornbread casserole, which has become a family delight. You mix a couple kinds of corn with corn muffin mix, and you bake it into a casserole, and it's a good little side dish.
Yeah, and that's your favorite part of it? I mean, sometimes that's the good ones, the side stuff.
Yeah, the side stuff. I mean, the turkey is a mainstay. And if you don't screw up the turkey, and, you can screw up a turkey, but it takes some effort. If you don't screw up the turkey's a mainstay. I'm pretty good. I have a roaster, and that was a key item. I spent money on a roaster, which I use literally once a year. But it'll last me forever, I hope. Another big thing in my family is this white salad that we make that has like marshmallows and cottage cheese and pineapple and stuff. I gotta be frank, I've never been sold on it, but everybody else in my family insists that we have it every year. So, okay, I'll conform. I'm there for you.
That item for me is the cranberry. I'm not down with the cranberry. Everyone else
really? Now, I love the cranberry, so interesting.
Like fresh, good ones, or like the ones with the can where you can see the rings around the middle of it?
I like them when they come in the can, but it's got to be the whole berry kind. Not the gelatinous thing that retains the shape of the can.
Yeah,
that
that's
doesn't
what I'm
do it
saying.
For me.
Yeah,
it's got to have the actual berries in it.
Good, good.
I will eat either, but I prefer the fresh.
Yeah.
There's something. I really can't pick one. One food
go
that's like
A plus.
Yeah, it's kind of the whole palate for me. It's got to be the turkey, and I am a drumstick guy, so I like the turkey drummy.
Ah,
oh, you like the dark meat? Oh,
I do.
Gotcha.
Interesting.
But and I like the leftovers even more.
Huge.
But the mashed potatoes. I'm okay with mashed potatoes. I prefer stuffing. If you have both, I'm fine with that. You got to have pumpkin pie.
Absolutely. That's where I was going with this. Pumpkin pie, man. Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
And
whipped cream or ice cream?
Oh,
what
whipped
do you do
cream.
On the side?
Whipped
Are
cream,
you kidding
whipped
me?
Cream.
Cool whip.
Whipped cream.
Cool whip.
Cool whip. Cool whip.
Try yourself a scoop of vanilla once.
Nope.
You'll thank you.
No way, not going there.
Not interested.
Wow. A disagreement
like
on the Inch Podcast.
I like
first
ice cream with apple pie, Jess.
Yes, I would agree.
Okay, all right. I'll accept that. The judges will accept that.
We will accept that answer.
Your final answer. Yes, Regis. Correct. For $500.
I know there's something I'm missing. I don't mind a vegetable in there. Throw in some corn or some beans.
Do you have the relish tray, like with the pickles and the olives? Just as kind of like side stuff?
Yeah.
Usually for the pre-dinner, the footballing and those things.
How about, have you done the deep fried turkey? Have either of you ever done that?
No.
Yeah, but not for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I've never done it for Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want my turkey. I don't want it. I don't want a deep fried. It's just, it's not Thanksgiving. Sorry.
Correct.
Let me issue a warning too for any of you listening out there who might hunt. My father is a very avid hunter. He will hunt anything. He loves hunting. God bless him for it. One year to kind of show off the fruits of his labor, we cooked a wild turkey that he had gotten.
Oh, boy.
That was a bad idea.
Oh, really?
Oh. I mean, it was all super dark, really gamey meat, and it was full of pellets from shotgun.
There you go. That's a problem.
It was not a memorable meal. Well, it was a memorable meal.
Very memorable.
Yeah, it sounded pretty.
For the wrong reasons.
It couldn't be more memorable if you asked me.
Yeah, exactly. Of all the turkeys I've eaten, that one stands out, that's for sure.
There you go.
A little gamey. No.
Yeah. There are ways to do wild game properly, and maybe we just did it wrong, but that was not the way to do it.
Most birds should be smoked, I believe.
I agree.
Would be my, and I'm no expert.
And especially with game birds, you have to keep them moist when you're
cooking
them.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. PETA's going to be on us, like.
Well, we've talked about smoking and killing animals, so.
Anyways.
Any other?
I was just thinking about grouse, like a good grouse.
Yeah. Oh, with like a mushroom sauce, outstanding.
But if you just bake it, it's going to be dry.
Right.
It's like any bird. You can't just bake it. You have to do the whole...
Take good care.
Do the whole thing. But let me go out... I think I say this every year, but Thanksgiving, by far, best holiday ever.
Agreed.
Eat and watch TV. Yeah, I can't...
It's up there.
I can't... I have a hard time getting behind those two things.
It's not a true Thanksgiving unless you wake up with, like, the carpet marks on your face from where you fell asleep watching the Lions game.
Kickoff?
Exactly.
Pre-game show?
You know, this may be an Eastern thing, but I'll ask you to folks out there in the great Midwestern wilderness.
Flyover country.
Do you watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Every year?
Sure, yeah. Absolutely.
It's a little closer, you know, to here, being from upstate New York and things. So
I would like to go at some point in time.
Curious about that.
To be honest.
See, that to me, there's no way I would go to that thing.
No, I don't want to go.
Away.
I just want to see the giant balloon of, like...
Snoopy?
Yeah.
We mentioned, now you talked about New York parades, so I got to bring this up. We mentioned, or you guys mentioned in the napkin, our friend John Barkin, who passed away almost a year ago, and we're thankful for getting to know him, and he was the greatest guy ever. I spent New Year's Eve with him one year, and we're watching the Times Square New Year's Eve celebration. John was a New Yorker. He grew up in Fort Lee, New Jersey, and lived in New York for years. He was saying, as we're watching this, he was saying, you know, these New York things, the parades and Times Square, he says, no actual New Yorkers ever go to these things. And he said the reason why is tomorrow morning you're going to read about in Times Square that there were, you know, 3 murders and 17 assaults, and it's all tourists, and the only New Yorkers there are the ones doing the murders and the assault.
Yeah.
Oh, happy holidays.
What, do they just shoot somebody because they're there?
Yeah, well, maybe.
Well,
Rudy Giuliani cleaned all that up, I think.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's all good now.
Yeah. Yeah. Macy's, it's pretty good. Detroit has a Thanksgiving Day parade, by the way.
Really?
Not a lot of people know that.
Well, now they do.
Now they do, so if you want to see a great Thanksgiving Day parade.
I knew they had a Stanley Cup parade.
It's a bunch of third-rate balloons. Like they
a couple
don't get
marching
the
bands.
You know, Macy's gets Charlie Brown and the Detroit Parade gets like Chili Willy and Baby Huey.
That was on The Simpsons one time where they had the parade with it. With the second string balloons. And Marge Simpson was excited because the funky winter bean balloon was coming by.
That's right.
Go get him, Funky!
And the Noid. Avoid the Noid.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
He makes pizza bad.
Is there a Little Caesar balloon?
Yeah, there is.
Speaking of obscure corporate mascot.
Pan Pan.
His toga came off one year. Kids were traumatized. Wow.
Picked up some candy canes in the grocery store last week.
No, you didn't. Nope.
Oh, I did.
Nope.
I did. Just chastised. People said too early. I said not too early.
Not till Friday.
Delicious. Delicious.
Yeah, not
Satellite till Friday. Satellite Radio's got the holiday music channel on already.
What channel?
If you're an XM listener, it's channel 35.
35? I've been looking 35. All over for it.
Keep looking. Well, worst part, Christmas, by the way, worst holiday ever. Worst holiday ever.
Disagree.
I mean, the first one, obviously, was pretty good. You know?
It's kind of all gone downhill.
After that, it's been a bad trip since then. But yeah.
You know what? I'm not married. And you guys are, so I'll take the bullet for this one.
Yeah.
And you can disassociate yourselves with this opinion. Valentine's Day. Worst holiday ever.
Yeah, just because it's so manufactured.
Yes.
You know, it's like if you love someone, you should be good to them.
Yeah.
There shouldn't have to be a special occasion for you to...
Yeah. Here's a bunch of roses and jewelry.
Valentine's Day...
I'll be home at dinner at 5 again tomorrow.
Here's something... This will go over well with everybody, but Valentine's Day is kind of like trash day. It's more of an obligation.
Wow.
It's kind of like...
a celebration.
Yeah, it's kind of like...
And that's when we knew the lovely Mrs. Idlebus doesn't listen to the podcast.
It's kind of... Yeah, well... Whatever. It's kind of like, you know, if I don't get this stuff to the curb, I'm just going to have crap piling up for another week, you know? So.
Right on the money.
Exactly. Overrated.
No, but,
not even overrated. It's just not, it's not a holiday. It's a gimmick. It's a marketing ploy.
Yeah. It's. I guess I relate it to the people who make a big deal about going out on New Year's Eve and drinking, and you know it's kind of amateur night,
mm-hmm.
Or St. Patrick's Day, same way. Going out to dinner with your spouse or otherwise loved one on Valentine's Day is kind of the same thing. It just seems kind of forced, you know. And,
yes.
Oh, try our heart-shaped pizza for two. Blah blah blah. But come on.
Well, who could say no to that?
Yeah.
Heart-shaped pizza? Like, are you serious?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Rocky Rococo.
Yeah. My question was, where are you taking your wife for Valentine's Day?
Well, I'm thinking, you know, like when you're in college and you're dating. You know, oh, let's get a heart-shaped pizza.
That's romantic.
That'll impress her.
Actually, sounds pretty good. Let me order one of those right now.
I feel bad for the schmo that works there who has to cut every little pepperoni into a heart shape.
Oh. Oh, boy.
They have a stamp now.
It's the Noid.
It is the Noid.
The Noid gets it done. And Jim Roswell. Rosie.
Shout out to Jim Roswell tonight, by the way. He was having his hearing with the city of Minneapolis to get a full liquor license. So,
attaboy, Jimmy.
If Jim's going to be our host when the Frozen Four comes back to St. Paul, we're pulling for him for that. For
when
that.
Is that?
2011 or something?
Oh, it's the one before Tampa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Assuming.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I should be around for that.
Yeah. I'll knock on wood. It's the one between Tampa and the one that never happened. that we will erase from our memories because it did not happen in a giant arena.
The Motor City Bowl?
Yeah.
Speaking of the University of Minnesota.
Yeah.
Wow. 4th of July, second best holiday after Thanksgiving.
Labor Day.
Labor Day. I just think 4th of July because the weather's usually good. You sit outside. You have a beverage. You're usually at a lake somewhere. You get to see fireworks. It's a very low-impact holiday. And if you happen to be in a city, you get to hear marches performed by bands, and I love marches.
Labor Day.
I like marching with pigs by Nine Inch Nails, but that's another. I might have to go with 4th of July here. Because there usually is a quotient of beverages. The beverage quotient for 4th of July is usually very high, as is the explosive flammable quotient.
Yeah, that's
which bad. I am a very big fan of.
But the football quotient comes in on Labor Day.
True.
Yeah.
Although it's never real football. You know, it's some directional school at Alabama, which just never works.
Hey, if Alabama loses that game, their season's over.
That's
every
true.
Week's a playoff.
Appalachian State said.
Appalachian State said.
That's twice. That's two. JV.
Wow. We're showing the Michigan grad who joins us from time to time what happens when you don't show up.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So we got the Holy Cross in there. We got the Appalachian State in there.
We're good.
We need a Chaminade Houston basketball game. Maui Classic's going on right now. That's old school. That was well before my time.
I remember that game.
I don't.
It wasn't on TV.
I read about it in the newfangled newspapers.
I woke up and I was like, Virginia lost to Chaminade.
It was Virginia, that's right, not Houston.
Yep.
Well, there you go.
Played in a high school gym in front of about 800 people, I guess.
That's the greatest nights of their lives. Maybe.
And years later, everybody claims they were there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just like Gladdy at the Inch Party.
That's right. That's why I always get my picture taken first thing.
See, officer, I can prove I was there.
With Sasquatch.
Is that the Loch Ness Monster?
In them.
All right.
By the way, we've selected a site for this year's
occasion. Selection.
And
we have.
Oh. Yes.
You'll let me know by May, right?
By May, yeah.
April 20th, I think.
Yeah, that's the day.
We'll make that announcement.
They told me it was in Baltimore.
Oh, it is. It's in Chantilly.
Ah, Chantilly. Nice.
Chantilly. Wow.
No, it's in the district.
In the district. In the
easily accessible by
metro
rail transportation. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, people who need to know will know.
Yep. And maybe you'll get a secret word at some podcast in the future.
Yeah.
We should make it like a...
Write us an apply to be invited to the party.
Yeah.
We should make it like a treasure hunt, you know. Leave little hints to the...
inch@insidecollegehockey.com.
Where it is.
Or are you going to... You can have somebody write an essay?
Yeah. Well, anything that you think would merit your inclusion in the... guest list for the annual Inch Frozen Four Bash. Send us an email at insidecollegehockey.com.
No photos.
Frozen? Oh, false. Subject line, Frozen Bash application. And any supporting materials you may have to include.
The winner gets to show up at 11:30 and drive Joe home.
Kick ass.
So there we go. You've been invited. For sticking around this long, you've gotten that invitation.
Yeah.
To apply. Like, we made you stay.
Eight of us have to vote in favor, though.
Yeah. Eight of our staff of six have to approve. All right. With that, I suppose we should wrap things up.
Yeah. Call the affiliates and tell them we're running late tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Thanks for spending some time with us. Of course, happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. And thank you for listening to an Inside College Hockey podcast.